No, it's fine. No. All I gotta say, that was a excellent job, Roxanne. And she didn't crack under the pressure of doing it for the first time. All right. Man, a lot of cool stuff this morning, I'll tell you what. Wow, is that too much? I'm looking at Gregory, and he's like, oh. Okay. So, yeah, good morning. Welcome to Palm Sunday. So, where we can wave them around, and we do care. We do care that Jesus is alive, and he's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So, man, a lot of great stuff. Thank you, Bev and Michelle, for leading the kids in. That was awesome. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Our youth, our kids are not our future of our church, but they are our church now. So thank you. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Roxanne, for leading our kids moment. That was awesome. There'll be many more of those to come, different people leading and doing that, something we wanted to start doing. Appreciate that. Appreciate like so much how like different people of this church, going off script here a little bit, but how many people of this church have stepped up in so many different ways, so many different facets over the months, this filling roles, fixing stuff, doing stuff. It's been amazing. It's feel like it's been forever since I've been up here. Speaking and sharing God's word and Sandra and Wayne's been doing very well being up here and sharing the gospel and I just haven't been up here as much as I like, and I just been taking time off and especially with my mom and dealing with that whole issue with my mom and the stroke, and I just want to personally thank you guys for all the prayers and praying for my mom as she's been going through that. Quick update on her is that she's at home now, totally defying the doctor's odds. One doctor came in and said that she'd never be able to be at home, and she's at home living by herself again. She's still getting help. She's still getting care every few times a week, but she's living at home doing her thing. Still feisty. Yeah, we're going to go down and see her at Easter time. So, but yeah, she's doing good. So she's getting stronger. So, but thank you guys for a prayer. She appreciates it too. So, actually, let me open in prayer first before I get to my story. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are who we worship, Lord. You are the same God that was worshiped back then that is now. And I pray, Lord, that you just give me the right word to say today, Lord. I'm not worthy to be standing up here and sharing your gospel, sharing your words, but you've chosen me, Lord, and just give me the right words to say, Lord. And let it be beneficial to people. Thank you, Lord, for what you did on the cross for us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you just thank you, Lord, for the children of the church. Thank you, Lord, that they are our future, but also they are a part of our church now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So back when Roxanne and I were living in Germany, it's probably the first time we were living in Germany, it was our first time we lived in Germany. We celebrated, I think it was, you could correct me if I'm wrong, Roxanne, our first anniversary that we went to London. Yeah, our first anniversary. So we celebrated our first anniversary in London, England. The good old UK, the home of fish and chips, big double-decker buses. You can go to the slide, Gregory, if you're awake back there. There you go. Okay. So fish and chips, double-decker buses, red telephone booths, the underground, mind the gap, the home of the Queen. So all that stuff, awesome place to visit. And we went and saw the Buckingham Palace. We went and saw changing of the guard, the beef eaters, all that stuff. We saw all the pomp and circumstance that went into that. And we visited the buggies, the carriages of the Queen, the different ones that she has. Don't know why you need more than one, but she did at the time. And all the other places that went along with her royal life at the time. Then flash forward, as probably maybe a lot of us did, watching it online or watching it on the telly, as the British like to call it. We saw the Queen's funeral, and we saw Prince Charles, well, now King Charles, right, taking over the throne and all the protocol and the pageantry and who walks where and who wears what and all that stuff, right, all the protocol. And what's crazy about it is 2,000 years ago, there was kind of a similar circumstance with pomp and circumstance and a king being presented. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you have open your Bibles or your Bible apps on your phones, open it to Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to look at the first 7 verses that start with. Give you a little context while you guys are opening. Is a little bit before this time, before this happened in Jesus' life, he was, before he'd made this amazing entry, he raised Lazarus from the dead, which, amazing story. He ate at Simon the leper's house, where the woman poured perfume on him. He healed people. He taught. He fed the 5,000. He was at the height of his ministry here on earth. But his most important role hadn't came yet, dying on the cross, which was a week away. So let's read these verses, 7 verses, and see what we can glean from them, what we can grab from them. It says, as Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came from the town of Bethpage and on the Mount of Olives. Jesus had sent 2 of them ahead. He said, go to the village over there. And he said, as soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its coat beside it, untie them and bring them to me. Bring them to me, yeah. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, the king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's coat. The 2 disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the coat to him, threw the garments over the coat, and he sat on them. One of the first things I picked up when I was reading this is that, and it's kind of a gee whiz, aha thing that we probably all know. It's not a new thing. It's not you're not going to run home and go, man, I did not know that, Tom. It's not like a news flash thing. You're not going to tweet it out. You're not going to put it on Facebook. You're not going to Snapchat it out. but is that Jesus knows everything. It's real simple for our living, whether we're 80 or whether we're 8, that Jesus knows everything, past, present, future. Nothing surprises him. He knew where those coats were. He knew where those animals were. He knew that somebody was going to ask about them. None of that surprised him. It probably surprised his disciples, the two that was going. But it didn't surprise Jesus. And he knew that all this had to happen to fulfill this prophecy long ago. So we have to remember that Jesus knows everything. And sometimes we forget that. And when in our lives, we forget that he knows everything. Which leads me to my second point, is that we need to listen to Jesus' instructions because his way is the best. It's best because he knows everything. It's like which one comes first, cart or the horse, right? He knows it is best because he knows what is best for us. What would have happened if the disciples had went off and went and got a horse or a giraffe or an elephant? I don't even know if they had those around there, but. Or what happens if they went and got the right animals but didn't tell the guy anything? It was just like, well, we're not speaking to you. We're not saying anything to you. We're just taking your animals. Pages got messed up. We got to remember that his instructions are the best in a way. Little example is that kids and even adults, has there ever been a time that you have never disobeyed, that you've ever disobeyed your parents? For us adults, we got to think back a little bit. For the kids in the room, you got to think back, and probably wasn't that long ago. But I remember a time I got this awesome bike for Christmas. It was a white bike. I remember it. It was the same bike I got hit on. That's a whole different other story. Probably share it in a sermon some other time. And I didn't know how to ride a bike at the time. And it was a bike, and I got it. And I wanted to learn how to ride it. And so I got it. And that was the front yard of the trailer I grew up on. And there was a grass area. And at the time when I grew up, there was awesome shows like The A-Team and Knight Rider and The Fall Guy. And this great shows, right? And all these shows had situations where, like, guys would jump on guys or like, explosions. Or guys would, like, fall. And they would fall, like, 50 feet or whatever, right? And I wanted to be like that when I was growing up as a kid. And I wanted to be like a stuntman or a cool guy like that or whatever. So I would get on my bike, and I would ride my bike, and I would ride it, and I would bike around. And I tried to ride my bike because I couldn't ride a bike yet. And I'd ride my bike, and I would ride my bike, and I'd get on my bike, and I'd go around a curve a little bit on the grass, and I'd fall off, and I'd roll like from here all the way down the pews, even though that totally wasn't necessary. And then I would get up, and I'd be like, that was cool. So I'd, like, ride a little bit, and I'd roll all the way down the pews. And I would, like, do that, like, tons of times, right? But here's the thing, though. My mom was watching. My feisty mom was watching. And at the time, mind you, this was the 80s. She gave me a little, she called me over. I remember this. I totally remember this. She called me inside and she gave me a little pep talk. She gave me a little pep talk with her hand. And she goes, you need to get on there. And she goes, you know how to write. She goes, you know what you're doing. She goes, you need to stop rolling down and being all ridiculous and stuff. And you know what happened? You know what's magical about it? I listened to my mom, and lo and behold, I fell a few times, but I didn't roll all the way down to the pews. But lo and behold, that day, I was riding in circles. Riding in circles. Because I listened. I listened to my mom. You see, my mom knew the solution to the problem of the situation. Think about how much more Jesus and God, the creator of the world, can help and guide and direct our lives and even this church if we listen to him like the disciples listened to him that day. If we listen to him completely, we can't do it halfway. We can't take half truths or the words that we want to hear. We can't listen. We can't say, okay, you said colt, so you want a giraffe, okay? Or we can't say, you know, colt, and we're not going to tell the person that we're taking the colt. We're just going to run and grab it, or, you know. So are we listening as individuals or as a church body to do what God is telling us to do? Are we doing things halfway or are we doing them fully like the disciples did? That's the question. So we know God knows everything. And why aren't we listening to the person that knows everything? So next, let's take a dive more into the story. Let's look at the next section of scriptures. Let's look at verses 8 through 11. Don't you love the picture? Riding in the 80s was the best. That was awesome. All right. So verses 8 through 11 says, most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who came in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. And the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this, they asked. And the crowds replied, it is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like crowds. Anybody with me? Don't like big crowds? Don't like big crowds? Yeah. Yeah. But I probably could make an exception here with seeing Jesus. I could probably make an exception seeing Jesus face to face. Probably could do that. So here in these four verses, there's a lot going on packed in four verses. There's people taking off their garments. There's people cutting branches, shouting, praising. There's people questioning what's going on. So let's take a look at these. What's going on here, and what's God saying in His Word? It says, here you have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, walking through, and people laying down their garments and laying down branches in front of Him. I mean, you got to think, these people are pretty committed. A section of these people are pretty committed to Jesus. They're laying down their garments. I don't know about you, but I like my clothes. I don't know about, I don't know if I could take off my shirt, take off my jacket, and lay it down in front of a donkey or a colt. Who's ever been to a Hayward and Labor Day parade? Anybody? Who would ever like lay down their colt, jacket, sweatshirt in front of any of the animals that ever walked through that parade? Anybody? Anybody? I wouldn't. Dirty, funky. Yeah. And this is what these people are doing. These people were laying down their coats, their jackets in front of these animals. But they had a reason. Because they saw Jesus as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords when they were doing it. It didn't matter to them. They were doing this as an act of homage, and that was reserved time for high royalty. They were laying it all down. This group of people had seen Jesus' miracles. Some of these people had just seen Lazarus, can't speak today, being raised from the dead. So some of the things that comes out of this is that we need to praise Jesus. I know that, once again, that sounds so simple, so easy, so just like I said, that Jesus knows, that God knows everything. But here's the deal, is that if people back then were doing it, why aren't we doing it now? Not saying that we're not, but we should be. It says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that they were praising is the same Jesus we're praising today. We need to be willing to lay it down as a sign of respect and praise him. This might be tough, but we need to praise him when things are going well and when they're not going well. We have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe, wanting to be part of our lives, on our side. So why shouldn't we praise him? Nothing's too big for him. Nothing surprises him. Remember, he knows everything. Remember? Just said it a few minutes ago. For adults in this room, you have situations at work. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's just general relationships. No matter what, praise him. For kids in this room, kids, you hear me? Teenagers, you hear me? You have situations at school. Maybe your grades aren't too hot. Maybe you got friendships. Maybe it's how you're being treated at school. No matter what, praise him. Friendship. No matter what happens at our church, no matter how long we're without a pastor, we need to praise him. Normally, I don't do stuff like this. Normally, this isn't my deal. But there should be. Gregory goes to the next slide. Hopefully, if I did this right. We're going to read this together. So, it says, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. Good job. It says in Psalms 34:1, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. And I understand it's not easy. I understand stuff happens. I understand this life gets tough. I'm not. Yeah, I totally get it. Been there, done that. Have 50 t-shirts. But remember, God knows everything. God's been there. God took the lashes on the cross. He's been there too. We need to praise God. Praising God's is always easy. But I guarantee praise God is better in your situation than whining about it. Praising God's better than the world's solution, all the world's solutions. I didn't even list them on the paper, all the world's solutions. But praise God, praise God. All right, let's look at 10 and 11. 10 and 11, it says, the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this, they ask. And the crowds replied, it is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So there's two different groups of people here that were witnessing Jesus' grand entrance. And there was a group that had been with him, that was coming with him, that knew his miracles, that seen his healings, raising from the dead, his teachings. And then there was a group that was in the city that really didn't know him, that really didn't know much about him, or knew him and didn't like him. And you know what? That's how it is today. Flash forward to 2023, that's how it is today. There's a group of people that know about Jesus, that love Jesus, that know about Jesus. And then there's a group out there that don't like Jesus, don't care for Jesus, and don't really know much about Jesus. But we have people all over the world, and here in Hayward, in Akron, Ireton, Sioux County, Alcester, we can keep going and going and going and going, asking, who is Jesus? Who does this man claim to be? Is he the only way? Does he really love people? Does he really love me, a person like me? Did he really die for me and my sins? We have so many people asking questions, just like they did back 2,000 years ago. Who is this? And we have the answer, just like the people did back 2,000 years ago. It's Jesus. Are we telling others about him when they're asking? Are we telling them verbally? Are we telling them in our lifestyle? Are we telling them in our situation? Kind of goes back to the whole, you know, praising them, you know. When stuff gets hard, are we, you know, back, you know. So many things are going on in the world today, locally and globally, where we can step up and let people know we have the answer. Not in an arrogant way, not in a rough way, not in a mean way, but in a loving and compassionate way. On this Palm Sunday, we remember that the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, was a game changer that day. He didn't come with chariots and a big army. Him and his disciples didn't come in to conquer the land as an army. He didn't come riding on, a chariot or anything like that. He came instead humbly riding on a donkey. And he knew in a week's time what he'd have to do. Are we going to remember that he is all-knowing? Because of that, we should listen to his instructions. Because his instructions are the best, so much better than what the world is trying to teach us. We also need to remember to praise him in the good and bad situations of life. Man, life's going to throw us some curveballs and punches, even But even at times, in those times, we need to praise him. Also, when things are going awesome, man, when things are just going sweet, we need to praise him. Because sometimes we forget that too. Finally, we need to tell others the answer. This is the time when it's okay to cheat on your paper. You know, cheat on your paper and tell people the answer. And give out the answer. That Jesus is the only way, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. So let's remember he's that in a week's time when we're celebrating his resurrection, that we got the answer. All right. Here, I want to close in prayer, but before I do, is that we are going to, after I close in prayer, we're going to have a little bit of time of prayer time together as families, and then if you need prayer, more prayer, pray for you, and we'll have a little music going, and then if you need prayer, we'll pray for you, and we'll have families if you want to gather as a family unit. You can pray together as a family, or if you don't have families, we'll pray for you. You can gather together as groups. You can pray together. We just want this time to be time where you can pray together or pray with yourselves, maybe over what I said or what's been going on. If you need prayer, let us know, and we'll pray for you. But let me close in prayer. Greg, you want to start some music? I pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for today. I just thank you, Lord, for your everlasting power. I thank you, Lord, for just who you are. I thank you, Lord, for how amazing your resurrection power is. I thank you, Lord, that you are the beginning, the end. I thank you, Lord, that you are just, that you can heal us, that you can provide for us, that you can just... I just thank you, Lord, for your resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we can praise you in the storm. Thank you, Lord, for this church body, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you just watch over us this week and the coming months, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you just give us direction as a church. Give us direction individually, Lord, in our lives. Just pray, Lord, that we look to you because you have the answer. You know everything. We're so feeble-minded, Lord. Let's thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. So help us, God, to please you. We're only you can see.